Welcome to InfoWars Nightly News. It's Thursday, November 8th, 2012. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, filling in tonight. And here's a look at what we have straight ahead for you.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News, the UN and President Obama use the Second Amendment as target practice. Then, the feds refuse to take their sticky fingers off the sticky green. Can the will of the people prevail? And Alex Jones can't avoid the Obama-noids.
God, you're nuts. You are a freaking wacko, you know that?
Mm-hmm, you bet. Crazy like
you're a
fox,
wacko.
Too.
Mm-hmm.
All that and more coming up on the InfoWars Nightly News.
All right, we've got one heck of a show lined up for you tonight. Lots of interviews and special reports straight ahead, as you just saw. Now, the first story for tonight is the rise of Obamunism. And why do we call it Obamunism? Because, of course, we are seeing a wave of communist type of mentality now emerging in the American culture. There has been a vote of confidence, you might say, for communistic type of economic policies. But more importantly, we're seeing the rise of violent rhetoric. That also indicates that we may be looking at a type of communism-oriented, so-called cultural revolution in the years ahead if we let these people continue to promote violence and hate. And racism, of course, divide and conquer strategies. That's what they're good at. So be on the watch out for signs of communism in America. It is actually coming back. And we need to be on the lookout for it so that we can prevent it and restore liberty and freedom in America. That was more of a commentary than a news piece, but we do have news stories for you here. First, we have a story about the liberal media and the White House owing an apology to the preppers. As I said in this article, preppers are the new prophets, and those who live in a state of denial about preparedness are the new homeless. Now, we don't mean to blame people who've been victims of Hurricane Sandy, but there are a lot of people who didn't need to be victims. They simply failed to prepare, and thus they became victims. They didn't have to be. If they had stored food and water filters and stored water, emergency medical supplies, communications, even a backyard camp stove to boil water and cook food, then, you know, they wouldn't have become emergency victims in a dire situation requiring a government bailout, in a sense, a government rescue, a FEMA rescue. And I believe that because preppers have been attacked by the liberal media for so many years, and by the White House as well, which says that preppers are, in essence, terrorists, I think the liberal media and the White House owes preppers a massive apology. They should say, we're sorry for calling you kooks and conspiracy theorists. Turns out you were right. And being prepared for a storm is intelligent, and it actually saves lives. So keep that in mind as we move forward in a time of, well, lots of change and lots of unexpected crisis. Now, speaking of change, there was one change on the ballot in California. Prop 37, of course, sought to require the labeling of GMOs in grocery store foods sold throughout the state of California. Now, you probably already know that Prop 37 failed at the ballot box, not by much. It was only about a 6% margin, but it did fail. And you might be wondering, how could it have failed? Who would go to the ballot box and vote to say, I don't want to know what's in my food? Well, earlier today on the Alex Jones Show, Alex said he doesn't trust the numbers and he thinks there could have been voting fraud. That's definitely part of the explanation. But another part is that the No on 37 campaign, which collected $45 million in donations from the world's largest pesticide chemical companies, including Monsanto, DuPont, Dow, Bayer, Basif, and others, they used that money to run what could be criminally fraudulent, misleading, or deceptive campaigns, sending out a fabricated FDA quote, illegally using the FDA seal on a mailer that was mailed out to millions of California voters. And that's the image you're looking at right now. Top right, it says, quote, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration says a labeling policy like Prop 37 would be, quote, inherently misleading. And they say that's from the U.S. Food and Drug Administration with the FDA seal right next to it. But guess what, folks? That quote was completely fabricated. The FDA never said that. They made it up. Just as they made up many other mailers that were sent out to people impersonating, for example, police organizations, urging voters to vote no on Prop 37. So that's how they stole the election, by deceiving voters. Gee, we've never seen that in America before, have we? But anyway, this is coming back, folks. Prop 37 may have gone down, but Washington State now is looking at a similar proposition, and other states are in the early stages of looking at this. So rest assured that if we keep up this grassroots effort to simply know what we're eating, we will achieve victory sooner or later. So watch InfoWars and, of course, Natural News. We cover this in a lot of detail for more updates as that story develops. All right, next story we've got, well, I want to play a video for you, actually. I love the movie Idiocracy. Let's go to that video if we could. This is too funny. I love the movie Idiocracy, and I found so many similarities between the President Camacho there and Obama's rallies in 2008 that I put together this clip showing the similarities between Obama and Camacho from Idiocracy. Anyway, we're not going to show you the whole video here, but you can see it by searching the internet for President Obama Camacho, as in Macho Man, Camacho. That's the video to check out. There is profanity in it. If that bothers you, don't watch it. Otherwise, you'll probably laugh your butt off. All right, now moving on to an issue that's not so funny. In fact, it's a threat to our liberties and freedoms. We have the resurgence of the gun control issue. Now, since Obama won re-election, and I can hardly believe I'm saying that here in the InfoWars studios, but it did happen. Since that happened, the gun control zealots are back in action now, pushing for the UN Small Arms Treaty to be enacted and applied throughout America to take away the rights of gun owners, to strip away the Second Amendment, to crush it, really, sort of like the TSA does with your Fourth Amendment rights. They don't want anybody in the world to be able to have guns except the corrupt governments. They want a monopoly on violence, in other words, a monopoly on force, so that individual citizens cannot protect themselves. But it's not just the UN Small Arms Treaty. It's also Senator Feinstein. Well, let me read you this from the UN treaty first. Here's a press release from PR Newswire. President Barack Obama's administration joined with China, France, Germany, and the United Kingdom, and more than 150 other governments to support renewed debate on the proposed Small Arms Treaty. Now, this takes us back to July 26, 2012, when Aaron Dykes wrote an article that broke down the language of this UN Small Arms Treaty. And in that language, he was able to reveal how this does strip away Second Amendment rights, even though the language can be confusing to people and it can sound like it's protecting the rights. Let me give you a little bit of that language right here. In the treaty, it says, quote, "The inherent rights of all states to individual or collective self-defense shall be protected." Now, if you look at this, though, the inherent rights of all states to individual or collective self-defense, that does not say the right to individual as in person, personal self-defense. What that means is the word individual is more like the word each. It means more like the inherent right of each state, which means, of course, a nation in this context, the inherent right of each nation to collective self-defense. What all that means is the military should have guns. There is nothing in the UN treaty, and Aaron Dykes, again, researched this in great detail, and this was published on InfoWars. There's nothing in the treaty that protects individual persons in the United States or any other country to have the right to keep and bear arms. And if you'd like to read more about that story, here's the title. Bombshell: Leaked UN Treaty Does Ban Guns. Now, this treaty went into hiding during the last few months of the Obama election because, of course, Obama didn't want to be seen as a gun grabber. But now that he has won re-election, the gun grabbing is back on in full force. And joining in that effort is none other than Senator Dianne Feinstein. And she is pushing for a new measure that would, in fact, ban semi-automatic firearms across the entire nation. And it's not just banning their sale, okay? So get this straight. It's about banning the possession of semi-automatic firearms that you previously purchased. So if you bought an AR-15 or an AK, you know, a few years ago, or even some other kind of rifle, your favorite rifle, even a semi-auto 22 ranch rifle, you bought those many years ago. If Senator Feinstein gets her way under the Obama administration's gun-grabbing agenda, you're going to have to turn those guns in. And I don't think that's going to happen, at least not in Texas, not in the South of America. And we've got a couple of guests joining us tonight, and one of those coming right up will help us break down the reality of that situation. Could gun grabbing even work in America, even if they tried it? Let's go to Steve Quayle and get his thoughts on it. Steve will be joining us by phone to give us his thoughts. Steve, thank you for joining us today on InfoWars Nightly News.
Well, Mike, I'm excited because now there are no suppositions that anyone has to kind of hope against hope that things aren't going to go to a worst-case scenario, because they absolutely are. You know, within hours after the election being won, the first topic that I'm told, and that's even being reported in some of the mainstream, is the United Nations small arms ban treaty that will affect the United States. And I think this is where most people have not gone far enough into their understanding of NATO, North American Treaty Organization, which is nothing more than the United Nations police force. And this explains why there are so many foreign troops in this country.
But Steve, I want to ask you, specifically about your knowledge, because you know so many people in the realm of, you know, people who own firearms and people who legally buy and sell firearms and so on. What do you think the backlash is going to be if this treaty is signed and there is an attempt to implement it in the United States for people to turn in their guns? What's going to happen, Steve?
Well, that's the last line in the sand, and I was on Coast to Coast, Mike, almost 15 years ago, and that question was asked, and I said there'll be total civil war. It will become regional at first, and we've seen that just in all the different failed false flag attempts, and every time, obviously, there's a false flag. But I'm saying this, that we will have total civil war. One of the interesting things is that you're seeing ethnos against ethnos. That's what Jesus spoke of, nation will rise against nation. That doesn't mean Russia and China against the U.S., although that'll happen too. That literally means ethnic different groups are going to be pitted against each other. We're seeing that now. And that was an easy call almost 20 years ago when I started in talk radio, simply because of this. You could see any time someone would put a modifier in front of the word American, whether it was Afro-American, Spanish-American, whatever they put in front of it, they were already setting up a what I would say the platform for neo-tribalism. Right. And now you can see it. Obviously, you've been to South America. You know what the attitude towards the gringo and the Yankee is down there. Yeah. And I love the Latin culture. I have a lot of good friends, but I'm also aware that the powers that be, what we would call the Illuminati, the International Global Hood of Darkness, a federation from hell, the point being is they want to get everyone, each man's weapons turned against each man. So, and these guys, listen, all terrorism is funded by a nation state. There is no indigenous terrorist nation. Terrorists need to pay their bills, buy their weapons, buy their communications gear. So but the point is, you do the same thing. You follow the money. It's total civil war, to answer your question.
Give us more details, though, Steve. If a civil war breaks out as you're describing, you've got on one side gun owners, firearms owners, who tend to be obviously conservatives, more rural-oriented individuals. Who's on the other side? It's who is on the other side of this civil war?
First of all, local law enforcement, those who choose to participate, that's why you've seen the federalization of police, because they're what Mike has called the blue list, okay? The red list are gun owners, the patriots, everybody that was on the MIAC report that Alex broke the news on, and all of the different delineations, veterans now are terrorists. Anybody that is deemed a terrorist or a threat is going to be targeted. And how they've done this, let me tell you what a targeting matrix is, okay? A targeting matrix, every neighborhood in the United States of America, based on its population, based on the reading habits and the total information awareness that has existed before that TIA even became an acronym,
right,
has got a matrix, and it's got, they've already done their artificial intelligence, they've already done their what are called their assassination algorithms. And so when the information was given to me about the red list, the blue list, and the green list, and I am the one that broke that 20 years ago, it was from a gentleman who was the head of a federal agency over the entire western United States, and he basically said, this is how it's going to go down. Local law enforcement and U.S. military, those who are willing to take part part in this will be the official blue listers. And once the blue list has succeeded in rounding up, imprisoning, shooting, whatever, and by the way, they're not coming to take the guns. I want to make this clear. The gun is secondary. This has been told to me by four-star generals, active duty, not retired, basically saying they do not want the gun. They're coming to take the gun owner away because the ideology that the gun owner has basically stood for, is willing to fight for and die for, that's what they've got to get rid of in order to facilitate the New World Order.
Sure. So what would be the conditions that might trigger what you're describing as this red list, and how quickly would it be triggered? Is it that all these agencies across the country get an email, or they get a phone call alert and it goes into effect in hours, or how would this get triggered?
Well, forgive me, but in many cases, in some of the more defined areas, the police already have, and some of the military already have sealed orders, but it would be downloaded instantly. That's why the communication system amongst the military and police has been integrated, and on a trunk system. That means you won't be able to hear the scanner, somebody saying, car number 9, go to Mike Adams' house, car number 12, go to Steve's house. No, it will all be digital, and it'll be downloaded. It'll be dumped immediately. I am told the arrest warrants and the writs of execution already exist. Now, if anybody thinks that's far-fetched, every single thing that those of us who've been warning, Alex, myself, Hawk, you, those who have been, I'd say even earlier on talk radio, have been saying the day would come. Well, most people got locked into their bias, their normalcy bias, and as long as, they could go and order whatever they wanted to order and get whatever they wanted to get and live relatively uninterrupted lives, they were happy. But that is not sufficient. Global disarmament, and especially the United States, is the plum. They have to disarm the United States.
Right.
And so that's, and there is no doubt that it's going to happen. You know, Mike, you've lived in foreign countries. You know, the black market exists when the free market does not function.
Oh, yeah. Know all about that. But here's a question, though. A certain number of members of law enforcement, especially, let's say, certain local sheriffs, are not going to follow through with those orders. We've got Oath Keepers all over the country, thanks to the work of that great organization. We've got people who are going to say, no, I won't carry out these orders. What happens to them? Are they then targeted immediately? What happens?
A lot of police departments have already been across country. Now, I have a lot of friends who are highway patrol, state patrol. I have a lot of friends, people I've known for 10, 20 years. And the thing that they've already got that plan figured out. Those that don't go along will be cut out of the communication loop. And when I say that, let's say you've got 99 digital numbers, and number 96 and 97 are boys that won't play ball. Play ball means fire on their fellow citizens, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Those guys will be locked out of the communication. Now, there are a lot of law enforcement personnel and military who are not going to do this. So it's going to be each man for himself. That's why you're hearing so many different groups, whether it's ex-SEALs, ex-Rangers, Special Forces, whatever the group and whatever the bond of brotherhood was, they're already getting prepared. They're getting their families out of harm's way. And so the idea that you can sit in your castle, meaning your home, and basically take hellfire missiles coming in your front door is ludicrous. That's why the whole idea that the gun is going to present a problem, these guys, they just laugh that off. What they are going to do is on the, let's say, highest value targets, HVTs, those are the guys that basically are on talk radio. Obviously, we know who that means. And the thing is that there are so many missiles. And I asked a general, I asked him, I said, how many hellfire missiles are there? He said, hundreds of thousands.
Wow.
And I asked him about the matrix. And the matrix is just simply this. Imagine drawing a bunch of squares. You could do it by city block if you wanted. But taking that on a county level, and let's say that the Northeast has got the 60% gun owners and the Southwest maybe has 10%. Well, they know how to assign different teams to go into those different areas. And I'm told by those who are breaking ranks, pun intended, or coming clean, that they are absolutely being told this is not going to be to take the guns away. It's going to be a full-scale war.
Now, Steve, let me ask you from a, let's say, a skeptic's point of view. I know you get this quite a lot. What's your answer to people who say, well, it's not as bad as you say, or they're not really trying to move that quickly, There won't be false flag attacks. A lot of people are reluctant to believe this. So how do you explain? I have an answer for that.
The bottom line is there are so many sleight of hand tricks going on right now, but just because a person doesn't see it, you know, how many times have you heard there's nothing to chemtrails? I've listened to that since I broke the story 20 years ago.
Yeah, GMOs are safe, fluoride is safe.
Yeah, GMOs are safe, and, you know, obviously we've got 400-pound shish kebabs walking around on the streets that are, you know, suffering from adult-onset diabetes and every attack on their immune system. So what I say to the skeptics is this. You, number one, skeptics, you need to do your homework and look at what's happened in Kosovo, look what's happening in Syria, look what's happening in Libya, look what's happening. Global revolution is the Illuminati prime directive. They have to get rid of the old. That means, obviously, the old control mechanisms, government. They have to take away from everything. That's why they obviously don't like biblical Christianity, because it stands against tyranny. And so the point is that we are seeing right now, Mike, the implementation of it all over the world. Good night. Look at all those people, the normalcy bias and the laziness, apathy, and indifference that was just in the Northeast. Yeah. Those people knew and had plenty of time. You know, I get called every name you can imagine, but I say this. Every single time there's a natural disaster and people don't prepare, there is no blood on my hand, your hand, Alex's hand. We've tried to fight the good fight, and we will fight the good fight of truth. But the point is that most people simply choose not to believe it. You know why? There's a word called responsibility, and people simply refuse to take responsibility for their own actions. And that's evident by watching the disaster in the Northeast.
There's also, I think, a psychological momentum almost, where most Americans believe that these kinds of revolutions are only things that happen in other countries like Cambodia, or throughout history, you know, China or Germany, or maybe a place like, you know, Haiti in more modern times, that these things don't happen in the United States because, in their minds, the United States is stable. And it is honest. You know, the government is honest. The government is trying to help us all. The drug companies are even trying to help us. They're like producing love, you know, and putting love in the bottle.
Well, yeah, and I would say this. The time of dye-tied T-shirts and singing flowers in your hair are gone. I think the reality is you're seeing people around the world. Look, we're seeing riots in Europe. We're seeing riots in Greece. We're seeing riots in the Baltic, and have seen riots. There's even, you know, now the Chinese are worried because there's starting to be so much backlash from the common man. Same thing in Russia. We're seeing it and have seen it in the Philippines. You go around the world. Global revolution. Why did all this stuff start almost on a single switch? It's simple, because the universal caliphate, meaning the world under Sharia law and under the caliph, if you will, the Iman Mahdi, you're looking at the destabilization of every Middle Eastern nation, even Jordan, which used to be, you know, good night. There wasn't anything more solid than Jordan. And Egypt, when Sadat ruled it and made the deal with the Israelis to basically have a peace accord, I mean, we're now seeing the destabilization of every Middle Eastern nation. And I think the point that people have got to understand is, when it was only over there, most Americans only dealt with it in just glimpsing it on the evening news. The people in New Jersey and New York and Staten Island and the different places that have been hardest hit, they're not dealing with a concept of what it means to be without power, without food, without sanitation, without underwear. They're seeing it. Look, Craigslist, there are women selling sex for gas, and vice versa.
Yeah.
We're seeing people prostitute. That breaks my heart. And what I'm trying to tell people is this. Look, you're seeing just a microcosm of how bad it's going to be. After 72 hours, Michael, we've seen people just starting to starve in their minds.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was a huge lesson in preparedness and self-reliance. But also, think about this. When this, let's say if this red list is activated and these individuals start to be, you know, arrested and even shot on sight, let's say, it seems like many of these, you know, Obama supporters living in the cities will cheer. They will love it. They'll think it's wonderful. So I think we're going to have, well, I want your comments, but are we going to have a situation where the mainstream, you know, Obama follower masses are cheering genocide?
Well, of course. You know, the bottom line is that how is it that words like revenge should even be spoken in a political context when you're trying to bring the country together? Look, the divide and conquer, us against them. A house divided cannot stand. That's what Jesus said. This house is a house that's on built on a foundation of sinking sand. And the bottom line is, it's amazing. You know, you've been in the preparedness movement long enough and had your newsletter and everything. People quote the book of Revelation, but somehow they don't want to believe it applies to them. People are aware of Nostradamus, but somehow quatrain sounds like something that runs on a pair of tracks. The point is that they do not understand the lateness of the hour. I will say this. I was the first, and this is just to set the record straight so the skeptics, which usually are, you know, cyber warriors at Northcom who go out and try and undermine everything I say, the bottom line is nobody else was warning about the cyber attacks on the banks that were happening longer than I am. So what do I tell? I tell people, listen, they're going to use an event. They'll blame it on the Iranians. They'll blame it on somebody, you know. And
blame
they're
it
going,
on you.
Yeah. Well, fortunately, they know how dumb I am in computers. I don't have back doors to all the nation's major financial centers. And so let me share this. If you went to bed on Friday night and you had, let's say, $1,000 in your account on Monday, you couldn't get that account, your credit cards have been canceled, all the credit card machines, the gas pumps, what would happen? Well, it's the same thing that happened in the Northeast. People who are on welfare getting electronic benefit transaction cards or whatever they're called, they couldn't even use those. So we've all been prepped for the electromagnetic pulse attack,
right.
The book, 1 second after. So here's the thing. Society, there is no understanding of supply and demand. There is no understanding of the value. God bless every trucker that's listening to this broadcast. If people understood the value of the truckers, and I'm talking about the people that can afford it, you know, pull over and buy a trucker, give them a couple $100 and buy them some gas just because the guy's working for pennies, and that's why the whole distribution chain. Look, do you mean to tell me that $1 billion funded organization like FEMA couldn't have pre-positioned water? Gee, doesn't it look like Katrina 2?
Well,
doesn't
Steve,
it look
they,
like a replay?
Hey, they had cookies and hot chocolate. What are you complaining about, man? They had cookies for disaster victims. But look, we've only got about a minute left. Let me ask you one final question, Steve, before letting you go here. If people are listening to this and they have not yet begun to prepare, is it too late for them, or are there still things they can do?
Not at all. As long as the electricity's on, they've got money in the bank, their credit card's still working. By the way, Mike, my website is Steve Quayle, QUAYLE.com. And, you know, I'm selling, and I'm saying this for people. I've been in the preparedness business. I was one of the founders of it. I think I've found the company that has the most protein for the best money, the most bang for your buck, so to speak. And I'm telling you this, that you may think that this is off in the distance, but we're now seeing the full-scale implementation of exactly what revolutions are built on, the laws being in place, and the actual vilification, nullification, ultimately the destruction of those who the establishment sees as enemies. And the enemy is anybody that tells the truth.
Well said. And anybody who prepares as well. Thank you, Steve Quayle at stevequayle.com. We've also got that on screen. Thanks for joining us for InfoWars Nightly News. Good information from you.
Great. Thank you, Mike.
All right. Bye-bye. Take care. Bye.
Yes, we are bombarded by messages on television, in the culture, in the government-run schools, that gun ownership is bad. And we see cities like New York and Chicago with total gun bans for the citizens. We see states like California, New York, Illinois with incredibly draconian laws. And then we see foreign countries run by the globalists where they did the same thing. First restrict semi-auto, then register, then ban. You can only be at a hunting club. Then you can't have your gun at the hunting club. It's just totally gone. We've seen them do this over and over again, banning hunting. They're always saying, don't worry, you'll have your Second Amendment, but we're going to restrict your hunting. Also implying the Second Amendment is only about hunting and not defense against tyranny and defense against the common street thug. There were a lot of things that the British imperial troops did that made the British citizens get mad and revolt. But the final straw at Lexington and Concord was the attempt to disarm the firearms and the ammunition. And we're right back where we started in 1775, 1776. Here we are. And today, I opened the radio show up to Obama supporters to call in and tell me what they thought. And they would say, oh, your man lost when I wasn't even supporting Romney. And, aha, or hey, you're crazy. We're not trying to take your guns. And I'm like, well, Chicago's banned guns. I don't know anything about that. You're crazy. So there's always this crazy attitude where they say we're crazy when we point out real facts. Dianne Feinstein, Chuckie Schumer, they've all called for total gun bans. The Violence Policy Center, Sarah Brady, you can go pull up their own publications. We're going to go over some of those in a moment with Aaron Dykes where they've said this. And wherever they're in control, they take all the guns. I mean, for heaven's sakes, Bloomberg now wants to say what you can eat and drink and what type of sugar you can have and where you can go and how many people can be in your car. I mean, these are control freaks. These are authoritarians. This is Agenda 21. This is turning the whole world into a giant re-education camp. But before I go to our reporters, Aaron Dykes and David Knight, going over the evidence of the fact that the world corporate oligarchy wants to disarm people, that the UN's done it in dozens of countries, here are just some articles right in front of me. Forbes, in an analysis of the UN gun treaty that Obama is publicly supporting like he did a few years ago, now they probably got the votes in the Senate to ratify it. And you can go read the UN treaty. Here's Forbes saying UN agreement should have all gun owners up in arms. Enact tougher licensing requirements, creating additional bureaucratic red tape for legal firearms ownership. Confiscate and destroy all unauthorized civilian firearms, including those that are semi-automatic. Ban the trade and sale of private ownership of semi-automatic weapons, any that have magazines. And it just goes on and on. Create an international gun registry, clearly setting up the stage for full-scale gun confiscation. In short, overriding national sovereignty. But listen, I didn't just believe that. I went and scanned through the treaty, and we wrote multiple articles. Here's one by Aaron Dykes, bombshell, leaked UN treaty, does ban guns. And it goes through the subsections and links to the UN treaty. So it's not just us claiming it, because the caller's like, oh, something on your site, that didn't. No, no, it's links to the treaty. And then we even have the treaty posted on our site below it in case the UN ever pulled it. I mean, look outside the UN in New York. That's a civilian citizen, 357 Magnum, six shot. I've got one of those. My dad has that very gun. Awesome guns that he bought from a cop when I was a little kid. He gave me one. I've been looking at that gun since I was 2 years old. I've got one of the guns. That gun. Beautiful rose handle. I've got that gun. I got a 357 right here under my desk. Now, excuse me, I'm starting to rant. We need to get this report through quickly here. So, go to our article, bombshell leak, UN treaty does ban guns. And we have the footnotes there. You link through and you read this from UN.org. And it's the Department of Small Arms Restriction, UNIDIR, where they say civilian ownership of firearms threatens a legitimate power monopoly of the state. They said that back in July 7th of 2001 and couldn't get it through. I mean, we've read what the policymakers who write this come up with, and now they're back. We're going to get to that in a moment. But continuing, here is Reuters today. After Obama wins, U.S. backs new U.N. arms treaty talks. And that's disarming third world countries in Africa and other places so the globalists can come in and mow them down. Incredible. Remember Obama in the second debate? We've got those clips. You can pull it up for yourself. He said, I don't want to just ban semi-automatics. That's assault rifles. I want to ban the handguns. Well, that's what Dianne Feinstein has introduced last session and says she's going to introduce in the new session of Congress coming up in about a month and a half after Christmas. And I've got those articles. Guys, punch up the Google search here. Just type in gun control, type any of those searches in. We can punch in my computer that's right here. And just type in Obama assault weapons ban. Boom. Literally dozens of articles today. Look right here. Senator Feinstein looking to introduce new assault weapons ban. And this is what the Sacramento Bee's reporting today, that it's a physical ban, not just from sale or new manufacturer. They want you to turn them in. That's in the Sacramento Bee. Okay. Oh, but oh, look at ABC News. This is back in October. Boom. Obama calls for renewal of assault weapons ban. Okay. I've shown a few of the articles. We're going to go to Aaron and to David Knight here in a moment with other angles and more proof of this and their own quotes that they want to totally ban our guns because government wants total power over people. But here's the caller listening to us in Tennessee on WBCR, our local affiliate in Knoxville, calling in today, laughing at us and saying he's never seen any proof. So we'll go to that clip, and here we are, bud. We got it all for you right now. Let's go to a few excerpts of that call. William in Tennessee, do you support Obama?
Yes, I do.
Well, tell me all about how great it is.
Well, to be honest with you, Alex, you know, he has not mentioned banning guns. And I defy you to tell me where he has.
Part of it is seeing if we can get an assault weapons ban reintroduced.
Joe, I mean, you just say, I defy you to show you. I mean, sir, have you seen them ban guns in all these other Western countries?
No. I mean, some have, but that's not going to happen here. Look, because it's a conspiracy website does not mean it's true.
Well, sir, you just said it. You said the word conspiracy theory and that nobody wants our guns. And I guess you're denying that the rest of the Democratic Party, that they're always calling to ban guns. You're saying the Violence Policy Center, Sarah Brady, big contributors. Are you saying Rahm Emanuel didn't say that he wants to restrict our gun ownership and that he wants to put us on a no-gun-buy list with no judge or no jury? Are you saying that's not true either?
That is, if you are on the no-fly list because you are known as maybe a possible terrorist, you cannot buy a handgun in America. That is the right thing to take into the election, and it's the right policy. If you're on that no-fly list, your access to the right to bear arms is canceled.
Are you really saying the one person having an opinion...
Hold on, put him back on hold. Sir, in the city Obama's from, is there a gun ban for the general population?
I don't know. I don't live in Chicago. I have no idea.
There you go. You live in a world of ignorance. All you do is say the word conspiracy theory.
God, you're nuts. You are a freaking wacko. You know that?
Mm-hmm. You bet. Crazy like
you're
a fox,
a wacko.
Too.
Mm-hmm. You're a wacko. Look, pal, according to your own website does not make you an expert. I have looked everywhere in the papers. I have been researched myself. They're not going to ban guns.
Okay, so I gave you proof. We just went to his clip. We're going to give you more proof now. I mean, I've just got stacks of it. Chicago Tribune. After Obama wins, U.S. backs new arms treaty talks. I was watching CNN during a break today on the radio. They're saying they're coming to physically get all the semi-autos. The ATF's introduced rulemaking to ban most shotguns. I mean, it's all happening. Aaron Dykes, we've got to move quicker. We've got to go back to Mike Adams, who's waiting in the other studio. But break down just in the little bit of a re-pooling of info, because we've already done this research 100 times, what you think about that caller.
First of all, it is a fact there was an assault weapons ban signed into quote law under Clinton. It lasted 10 years. It expired in 2004 under sunset provisions. So it's not exactly wacky to suggest it. You go to Dianne Feinstein, you just showed how she's reintroducing gun control.
Yeah, we're going to document cam this in a moment.
Meeting with the FBI and the ATF right now, this week, this month, on new provisions. So here's Dianne Feinstein, May 31st, 2012, recorded in the Sacramento Bee Voters Guide as she's running for Senate. Question, what special interests in Washington have too much power? She says, guns. I wrote the assault weapons ban that was the law of the land for a decade. So she's involved. She also brags about how she got the gun ban passed in San Francisco over handguns, despite the fact she has a gun permit, a concealed carry permit. She later melted it down into a cross as a stunt. Now she is trying to introduce a new assault weapons ban. It's in the Market Daily News that she wants to ban all assault rifles, high-capacity magazines, and pistol grips, and also refers to banning the sale of, quote, weapons in possession. That means private sales. You've got Obama calling for a renewal of assault weapons ban 3 weeks ago at the debate. He says part of it is seeing if we can get an assault weapons ban reintroduced, but the other part is looking at other sources of the violence, because in Chicago, it's not AK-47s. They are using cheap handguns, alluding to a handgun ban. Not surprising, since you go back to State Senator Obama as a candidate who filled out a voter survey in Illinois. Question number 35. Do you support the legislation to ban the manufacture, sale, and possessions of handguns? Yes. Ban assault weapons? Yes. Mandatory waiting periods and background checks? Yes. There's a series of bizarre denials where they claimed a staffer filled out that survey and that it wasn't Obama despite...
And again, that's mainstream news reporting on them when they tried to claim they hadn't, but it came out they had. Again, they play these games with people.
But it doesn't really matter because the 2003 survey he filled out for the same group, Illinois Voters Independent Precinct Organization, 2003, running for U.S. Senate, he filled out a similar survey. Question 35, do you support the legislation to ban manufacture, sale, and possession of handguns? This time, it's not a simple yes, it's a whole statement. While a complete ban on handguns is not politically practicable, doesn't say he doesn't want it, says it's not practicable, he believes in reasonable restrictions on the sale and possession of handguns, and the statement goes on. He again says, yes, he'd like to ban assault weapons. He says handguns and ammunition.
I mean, give me a break. It's from Chicago where they've totally disarmed him.
Then you've got his attorney general, Eric Holder, who again was in the Clinton administration during the assault weapons ban. In 1995, he's on video saying we must brainwash people against guns. Quote, what we need to do is change the way in which people think about guns, especially young people, and make them think it's not cool. Talks about doing it like cigarettes and then says we need to do this every day of the week. We really just need to brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
And if you watch the whole clip, he's there at a media thing admitting he's met with the media saying put anti-gun messages, private ownership messages in your programs.
That's correct. Flash forward to February 2009, a month after Obama enters office. Holder revives talk of an assault weapons ban. Quote, he tells a reporter question, quote, well, as President Obama indicated during the campaign, there are just a few gun-related changes that we'd like to make, and among them would be to reinstitute the ban on the sale of assault weapons. I think that will have a positive impact in Mexico at a minimum, alluding to Fast and Furious scandal.
Yeah, after he ships guns into Mexico.
After making that statement in 2009, Rahm Emanuel, then chief of staff for Obama, tells Holder to STFU, that means shut up expletive, on guns.
By the way, he's the one that says they just want to put you on a list where you can't own guns. No judge, no jury. A no gun buy list. We have that video clip. Let's play just a short piece. It's a long speech where he says, this is Holder, that they're going to need to brainwash the public. Here it is.
And what we need to do is change the way in which people think about guns, especially young people. One thing that I think is clear with young people and with adults as well is that we just have to be repetitive about this. It's not enough to simply have a catchy ad on a Monday and then only do it every Monday. We need to do this every day of the week and just really brainwash people into thinking about guns in a vastly different way.
So there you go. The brainwashing continues. Now, I know you got a lot more, Aaron, but in the interest of time, go ahead and go through the rest.
Holder also told Congress in 2012 during Fast and Furious testimony in the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee a statement extremely similar to the one he made in 2009. This administration has consistently favored the reinstitution of the assault weapons ban. It is something that we think was useful in the past with regard to the reduction that we've seen in crime and certainly would have a positive impact on our relationship.
All right, let's stop right there because we're pretty much just repeating him, saying it over and over again. What we're seeing illustrated here is that so-called liberals are really authoritarians of another stripe, and they think they control reality. Because they always do this. They say what terms are, they say what meanings are, and they say, we're not going to try to take your guns, we're just reintroducing stuff to physically take them, not just ban their sale or manufacture. So they play these games hoping everyone's ignorant, and they try to just laugh at you with an appeal to everyone else's stupidity, hoping that you don't know. I mean, this is a classic military tactic to say we're not assaulting you or to attack, you know, like at Waco, the tanks ramming the building and they're saying this is not an assault. This is what's going on with these people. Great job, Aaron. Now let's move to our reporter, David Knight. And understand, this caller called today, in about 30 minutes, we just grabbed up some of the documentation. I mean, there's all sorts of Handgun Control Incorporated on the floor, you know, saying we're going to total abolition of people's guns. I mean, we've seen what they do in countries and cities and states they control. David Knight, just looking at the UN treaty here tonight, and first off, any other points you'd like to make about what you've just heard?
Well, what Aaron was just talking about was internal laws on assault weapon bans and that sort of thing. What broke in the news today, and here's headlines at 6:40 a.m. this morning, November the 8th, no votes against finalizing global arms trade treaty at UN General Assembly. Basically, they've got the strongest, they were meeting starting on Tuesday, the day we had our election. The UN was meeting about gun control, and they just finalized it today, 2 days later. And they had a couple of abstentions, but they had the most support they've had for this yet. Now, they tried this back in July. On July 26th, they had a vote, and the vote didn't pass. And one of the reasons it didn't pass was because Fast and Furious was breaking at the time. And what they were telling everybody at the time was, don't worry, this isn't about your handguns. This is only about transfer of weapons between countries. But that's exactly what Fast and Furious was about. So that was something that was really kind of an embarrassment to the Obama administration. They really didn't want to get into this until after the election. And they were telling everybody at the time, you know, the word was out that they were going to revisit this immediately after the election. Well, here we are 2 days after the election, and they're right on top of it. And they're saying they're going to have the next meeting is going to be for the actual to finalize this is going to be in March. By that time, the Senate will be a little bit more Democrat, so they've got a better chance of getting this through. But the whole idea that this is just about transfer of weapons between countries is not really anything that's anybody's buying, because part of regulating this transfer is registration and tracking. That's going
to
be
well. It says to control international, we've got to control internal, and right. It says states have a right to have guns in the subsections that we list, but not individuals.
Right.
It says the state can curtail that, and I've put up on screen. Just type in map of world gun laws, and if you just type that into a search engine, you can see mainline news and government's breakdowns of this. And if you look at maps of this, almost the entire world. Is disarmed. Green is totally disarmed. Dark green, almost totally. You know, purple, a few guns. But black is a lot of guns. Well, look at the United States. Mm-hmm. Okay, the United States is it, folks. Every government wants those guns. I mean, look at communist China, just like England now. I mean, this is incredible. Canada is pretty much partially disarmed. Look at South America. Look at Central America. Look at Mexico.
Yeah, in Mexico, only civilians can purchase small caliber firearms, and they can only purchase them from the Defense Department. You know, what kind of gun violence do they have? I mean, compare that to Switzerland, where the government requires the citizens to have military weapons, right?
But I've been told that the Defense Department decides if they're going to let you have a gun.
Right.
So it's almost impossible.
Right, exactly. And they don't have any gun violence there, do they?
Continue with what the UN's doing, because here's the bottom line, folks. They're coming for the guns, and they're going to play this game and go, we're not coming for your guns. The TSA's not groping. Remember, the TSA will grope people and go in their pants and say, well, we don't call that groping. Or they'll strip search you and say, well, we don't call that strip searching. Mm-hmm. It's this mind game they play where they control reality.
And this is developing exactly like we saw with the NDAA, where, you know, Obama said he didn't want it, then he was going to do it, and, you know, don't worry, I'm not going to do that, you know. And you're seeing the same type of thing. When they get this passed, they're going to have the Senate is going to have to ratify this amendment. Once they ratify it, the UN will be able to change the details of how these things are implemented.
That's the key. So, tell people about that.
Yeah, that's the key. The key is that they need a supermajority of the, you know, once the U.S. Senate ratifies it, and they're going to need to have 67 senators to ratify it, once we're into that treaty and we've signed on to this regime, now the UN retains control. And so the UN, with just a simple majority, can go in and change the details of how this is working. And remember, this is all about tracking. It's all about registration.
We're talking about a treaty where other governments now get to come in and control our country.
Yes, exactly.
Just like Law of the Sea Treaty, all of it.
Exactly.
And they brag it's a global government run by banks being formed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And there's another aspect from the UN as well, which kind of plays out kind of like Agenda 21. It's a quote-unquote voluntary system where they come up with, it's called a program of action to prevent, combat, and eradicate illicit trade in small arms and light weapons in all its aspects. It's a very long title. But they modified that the first week of September. So after the, actually that ran from 27 August to 7 September. That was right after they lost the UN arms trade treaty. Which they said they were going to revisit, which they're now coming back. But they also then came up with this program of action. The program of action goes in and suggests legislation that local governments or national governments can create for gun control. So that's what's driving a lot of this internal regulation, is coming out of a blueprint that is created in the UN.
No, exactly. We sign on to it just like UNESCO, and then the bureaucrats adopt it. I mean, this is global governance. David Knight, thank you so much. Aaron, any other comments?
I would just add that the United Nations has passed dozens of treaties on this. Among them is a treaty in Africa where they banned even legal small arms. So they've gradually...
Oh, no, there's no... The UN goes in and murders everybody and takes their guns. I mean...
But they have a treaty on paper saying they will confiscate legal small arms.
And what is it like for you to hear a caller just saying we're lying?
He's completely out of touch with reality. He just wants to argue about Obama, his hero, is the person he relates to.
Well, guys, I want to be on this 24-7 because the attack's on. We knew it was coming. And, wow, I mean, it's happening. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Great job, guys. Okay, that was a little bit long of a report. I want to thank, again, Mike Adams for coming and doing the news tonight. We're going to throw it back to Mike, and then we're going to also, of course, give you that report on aspartame. So we'll be back here in a few minutes. Key information you just saw. We put a lot of work into this. Get this out to everybody. This is the proof. They're coming for your guns. They want you to be their slave. Slaves are disarmed. First gun laws in this country were against newly freed slaves. All right, back to Mike Adams.
All right, moving on with other news. Home gardens are once again under attack. Remember the situation in Michigan with Julie Bass and how she was threatened with jail time for growing a garden in her own front yard? Well, now it's happened to another man in Orlando, or near Orlando. A College Park man fights to keep vegetable garden in his front yard, says the news out of Orlando. And the city of Orlando says the garden is, well, against the city code. Oh, how dare you grow your own food in your own yard in or near the city of Orlando. You know, this is fascinating because look at Hurricane Sandy and the aftermath. People didn't have, well, food, right? What if they had grown gardens? You know, wouldn't America be stronger if we had more gardens and more yards, stronger against natural disasters, stronger against war, against a nuclear attack or a nuclear accident, anything like that? Home gardening is the solution. It's part of liberty, really. So it's really sad to see this happening, but I hope that InfoWars will cover this more in the days ahead. Moving on to the next news item, Colorado has voted to, well, sort of shut down part of the war on drugs. They voted to decriminalize small quantities of marijuana for recreational use. Yeah, not just medicinal use, but recreational use. Now, this, of course, is, well, it's one... Let's say small victory on the freedom front. Ron Paul would have supported this because he's against the war on drugs, and I am too, and most liberty lovers are against the war on drugs because, you know, it criminalizes people who are really no threat to society, and it creates a very large government enforcement agency, the DEA, for example, that raids people's homes at gunpoint and takes them, throws them in prison so that they can work at slave labor wages to produce products for wealthy corporations that are really an example of crony capitalism with ties to the corrupt Obama administration. Can't believe I got that out in one breath. But the point is, now this pits the federal government at odds with the states. What will happen when the state of Colorado says, no, you can't arrest these people, these pot smokers over here, let's say, but the federal government says, oh, yes, we can, because it's a violation of federal law? My prediction? This is going to be a 10th Amendment showdown, folks. Yep. Learn more at the 10th Amendment Center, by the way, a great nonprofit website teaching people about the 10th Amendment, which is, of course, all about states' rights. And the real question is, how will the so-called Commerce Clause be interpreted by the Supreme Court if they actually hear a case based on this issue? Will the Commerce Clause once again be misinterpreted to say that the government, the federal government, has unlimited power over all commerce inside individual states? That's the question that we will have to be looking at in the future. So I can't wait for that one. That's going to be interesting. Now, speaking of drugs, we've got the CIA fronting an effort, apparently, to overthrow Rafael Correa, the current president of Ecuador. Yes, and as many of you may know, I used to live in Ecuador, so I've got some good information on Correa. Now, Correa is really a standalone kind of guy. He's an individual kind of guy. He used to be an economics professor, by the way, at the University of Illinois here in America. But since going back and resuming, or let's say acquiring the presidency of Ecuador, he has thumbed his nose at the United States of America, in particular, the American Empire. And, you know, I wish we had John Perkins to comment on this, you know, author of Confessions of an Economic Hitman, because that's what's going on down there right now. Now, some additional background. Rafael Correa also closed down the Manta military base that the United States was using to run raids on coca fields in Ecuador and other countries down there, and that didn't go over very well with families that were using that to, you know, survive, you know, raising coca, which is completely legal down there for making coca tea and other things like that. He also, another thing that he did, and this is what really angered the globalists, Rafael Correa, he, well, let's say he nullified a lot of the globalist debt that was attributed, that the nation of Ecuador was supposed to be paying back to the globalist banks. So he nullified that debt. I think that was like 18 months ago or something in that range. That angered the globalists big time. So now they're trying to overthrow him. And you just saw some of the screenshots of what's going on. This came in by a tipster who is a Spanish-speaking investigative journalist in South America who reveals that it looks like cocaine is being smuggled throughout South American region by a CIA/DEA operation in order to raise money to topple the government of Ecuador and overthrow Correa. Isn't that interesting? Gee, we've never seen that before. All right, that covers most of the news for this evening. Now here we've got a quote for you to consider. Think about this one very carefully. It's a quote from John Adams. Fear is the foundation of most governments. Fear, of course, motivates the zombified population into a state of endless compliance. You want to make them comply, scare them to death with everything. False flag, you name it. How about red level, orange level terrorism alerts? I remember flying back into the U.S. from Ecuador. I would arrive in the George Bush Airport in Houston. The first thing I would hear was, "Welcome to the George Bush Intercontinental Airport. The threat level is now orange." It's like, welcome to America. All right, we're going to a break, and we'll be right back with more. Stay with us.
Alex Jones here with a message to fellow freedom lovers. The prognosis for the entire planetary economic system runs from bad to worse. The globalist model is to shut down societies and starve patriots out until they acquiesce to the global takeover. That's why we've assembled the most vital and important preparedness items at InfoWarsShop.com. These are items that I did research on, that I personally use. We've got the Life Straw, so you can turn fetid water into safe water anywhere you go. The KTOR hand crank generator to charge up key equipment during power outages or out in the field. Strategic Relocation, 3rd edition by Joel Skousen. When Disaster Strikes by Matthew Stein. Therosafe, used by Homeland Security to protect yourself during any radiological event. Hand crank shortwave AM/FM radios. Everything that we've researched and found to be the best is available at InfoWarsShop.com, and your purchase makes our InfoWar possible. We're getting prepared. Are you? InfoWarsShop.com.
I really enjoy it when the globalists try to poison us, and, well, we resist them via a free market system. Hello, my fellow Info Warriors. Alex Jones here, introducing you to the ProPure family of gravity-fed filters. Now, you know that the globalists are filling our water with radioactive isotopes, fluoride, lead, mercury, arsenic. And one of the few systems that can efficiently and economically remove or reduce down to non-detectable levels these poisons are gravity-fed filters. And ProPure is the top of the line. Their filters are impregnated with silver, a natural antibiotic. On top of that, they're bigger, so they filter faster. You don't have to prime these the first time you use them. It's amazing. Go to InfoWars.com and click on the shopping cart link to see the entire family of these babies. Now, the fluoride they add to our water is so tiny that most filters can't cut it out. But ProPure has their system that will, again, reduce it to non-detectable levels, almost get all of it out of there. That's also available. And if you look at the different systems they offer, the ProPure Big Brush Finish is on a stand, so it's easier on a table or at your restaurant or wherever you have it to go up with a glass or a mug and fill it up. Then there's this big baby right here, the ProPure King Large Version. Got a lot of different options that come with it. Also, they have the ProPure Big, probably one of the best values out there. And, of course, it's burnished stainless steel. And then what I use on my RV, something that's great for your hunting cabin or the back porch, is the ProPure Traveler. Small and portable, but packs a huge punch, cleans out all that garbage. They also have glass sight spigot, so you don't have to take the top off and look in the bottom area to see how much water. You can see how fast it's filtering with this optional system. The globalists obviously are hitting us through our water. It's time to take control of our lives. It's time to not give our children and families these poisons. And these systems cut it down to non-detectable levels across the board. ProPure is the name. I only promote what I believe in. And I use ProPure in my home and my office. And I recommend that you check out the information on ProPure at InfoWars.com. We already have the lowest price at InfoWars.com on the ProPure gravity filter system. But when you add in the 10% off when InfoWarriors use the product code WATER at InfoWars.com, nobody can top it. So again, it's a win-win-win. Stop drinking the poison water. Checkmate the globalists when it comes to your health, and support InfoWars.com and the work we're doing here. You know, many revolutionaries rob banks and things and kidnap people for funds. We promote in the free market the products we use that are about preparedness. That's how we fund this revolution against the New World Order in our move to restore our constitutional republic and a spirit of 1776 worldwide. Check it out at InfoWars.com. ProPure, top of the line, number one, most powerful and effective and economical gravity-fed water system in the world. ProPure, available, discounted at InfoWars.com. Don't forget product code WATER to save 10%. It's the latest generation, years in development. ProPure is the name.
Welcome back to InfoWars Nightly News. Now moving on to the issue of aspartame. Aspartame is, of course, a genetically engineered chemical sweetener, and it's found, even hidden, in thousands of foods and grocery products, many of which you would never suspect to have a chemical sweetener. In fact, you'll find them in chewing gum. And Melissa Melton and Alex Jones have put together a special InfoWars video report on precisely that subject. Let's take a look at it right now.
Tonight, I wanted to go over the dangers of aspartame and some of the other additives that are invading even so-called healthy organic foods sold by places like Whole Foods here in Austin, Texas, that InfoWars Nightly News comes to you from. And Melissa Melton has filed a report dealing with gum to save the planet that's tied into Oprah Winfrey and other eugenicists that are involved in population control. But first she went out and looked at mainline grocery stores and what they're selling versus Whole Foods. But I wanted to direct you to two new studies just out in the last week and a half published in the National Institutes of Health. Saccharin and aspartame compared with sucralose induced greater weight gain in adult Worcester rats at a similar total caloric intake levels. And we've noticed that the media has tried to spin stuff like this in the past, claiming, no, it just so happens that people that tend to eat too much also like aspartame, that's an excitotoxin, very toxic, and literally hundreds of studies since the 70s showing it causes brain tumors. And speaking of that, here's a new one. Just type into the search engine aspartame brain tumors, and you'll get the corporate media trying to whitewash it, but under that, hundreds and hundreds of studies. Here's one that just came out, October 24th. Consumption of artificial sweetener and sugar-containing soda, risk of lymphoma and leukemia in men and women. And that's published in the National Institutes of Health, and that's the Women's Hospital at Harvard Medical School and a bunch of other universities, the public health program at Boston University as well. So there it is, prestigious. Go look it up. Now listen, there are literally thousands over the years, hundreds just in the last decade. Okay, this is well known. It's a chemical weapon. Now, here's the issue. You think, well, I just won't drink Diet Coke or Diet Pepsi or whatever. I'm going to get away from this. No, you don't understand. I've been to even the so-called healthy grocery stores, and they've got all sorts of weird GMO estrogen mimickers in them and aspartame. You go to the store. I go to the gas station. I've got children. They go, hey, can I have some candy? I go, well, let's see if there's anything. And I've been in hundreds of stores in the last 10 years with my children, and you can never find Orbitz full of aspartame. maybe even zoom in and show people that. It's so tiny, they hide it at the end. But there it is, right there for everybody that it's got it in there. Eclipse, same deal. Here's another company. All of these right there breaking all of this down. Aspartame, you can see it right there. Right there on the last one that we were showing. Right here it says aspartame. Here, pan back over to the red one for me, Rob. Right here. There you go. Aspartame. And then it's got some of these other chemicals that studies show are even worse than some of the other gums. So you're looking at that juicy fruit. Now remember, these are not sugar-free. Does that say sugar-free on it?
No. That's
does not say sugar-free. And we're going to get Melissa Melton's breakdown on that. Trident, not sugar-free. Dentine, double mint. Everything I chewed in my life. Everything I enjoy. Big Red, can't have it. Can't have any of it. Can't have any of it. And guess what? Big League Chew? How about Hubba Bubba for the children here that you get on Halloween when you're out there? Right there. Aspartame. Aspartame, and a whole bunch of other stuff. Aspartame. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the facts that we're talking about here, and we're going to go to your detailed video report in a moment, but talk about visiting some of the stores and then talk about what you found at Whole Foods, but first getting into these and that whole stack of other studies from the National Institute of Health, .gov.
Right. Well, we went to several stores, and we couldn't find one type of gum that didn't contain aspartame in it. We just couldn't find it anywhere until we got to Whole Foods, but we'll get to that in a moment. They had other things in their gum. And then if you go on the National Institutes of Health, I found 55 pages, full pages of different studies showing the negative effects of aspartame.
Just the links were 55. Just the links were 55 pages.
Pages of links, full pages.
Hundreds.
Hundreds, basically. And so I just tried to pick the first 10. I mean, because there were so many that seemed awful. And I mean,
and by the way, this isn't, you know, some little medical center saying this. It's Harvard.
Yes.
It's Emma. It's the top schools in London. It's Chinese government studies. It's Russian. This is not debatable.
National Institutes of Health wouldn't publish it if they weren't legitimate. And so here we go. I've got several more here. The first here says multi-potential carcinogenic effects of aspartame. So that means there's carcinogenic effects, and they found more than one kind, and they were very detrimental. Then you've got aspartame-induced fibromyalgia. So chronic pain that people get, they think they have fibromyalgia, could be actually caused by eating aspartame, they found. We also have antioxidant defense status in the liver. It caused hepatocellular injuries in people's livers who ate aspartame. Then we also have the aspartame beginning during prenatal life increases cancer effects in rats. So when they would feed pregnant rats aspartame, the babies would have cancer.
Same thing with fluoride water they tell pregnant women drink.
Basically, yes.
Anything to hurt that kid.
Yeah, and then you've got cancer of the liver and lung in male Swiss mice right here with the aspartame put into their food. Oxidative stress in the brain, so it stresses that. And that causes methanol found in the blood, so it also hurts your brain, and you can find traces of different things in your blood. And then finally, I found one, aspartame-fed zebrafish exhibit acute deaths. And the ones that didn't die who were fed aspartame had swimming defects with an increase in brain inflammation. So
it's an excitotoxin, as Dr. Blaylock discovered over 20 years ago. And understand, viewers, this is a life and death situation. The system created a chemical weapon. The Army discovered it in the 60s. Searle got the patent. Monsanto bought it and got it approved. Three times got it approved. Okay. And they've got other chemicals. It's not just aspartame that is in these. Okay. And your kids all day reading this, and every amphibians, fish, mammals, they test them. It kills them. Okay, this is not a game. This is rat poison for humans, and then you go to the hospitals, and they're there to reclaim you. They're there to basically bring you in and suck all your money out while they kill you. And the doctors are so brainwashed, they're just little priest-class people. They don't question it either, okay? I mean, you're under attack. Please continue.
Well, and then we went to Whole Foods actually looking for gum that didn't have aspartame. And I will say this, we couldn't find any gum at Whole Foods that didn't have aspartame. But I did see a lot of different products here that have soy lecithin in it, which is an estrogen mimicker in the body, and it can cause everything from cancers to brain deficiencies to death. So It's genetically modified as well. I mean, over 90% of the soy in this country is genetically modified. Also, soy lecithin is actually produced with hexane, which is a jet fuel additive. So that's how they produce it.
Well, I mean, I remember hearing 5 years ago a report, somebody called and said, have you heard that there's silicone in the additives of chicken McNuggets, but also many other fast foods? And I thought, now, come on, that's not true. And I went and searched it. It was like a two-year-old article. Mm-hmm. This is, so that'd be like 7 years ago or whatever, where, I mean, people watching just type in chicken McNuggets silicone. And I knew silicone, when ingested, I mean, just tiny bits getting out of breast implants was causing autoimmune disorders. And there was all those studies. That's why they changed it. And I was like, no, that's not true. And you look it up. No matter how crazy it is, you look it up, it's there. That's why everybody's fat and unhealthy. The studies how this stuff makes you fat, because your body gets toxic and puts more water basically into the tissue, trying to keep it off the cells, you understand? But then the cells can't take in the regular water it needs. They're killing us. They're killing all of us, you understand? They're killing you. They know it. It's hidden in plain view. It's the White House science czar in his own book, Ecoscience, where he brags. You can look it up online. The whole thing's been scanned. They put stuff in our food and water. They're doing it. And there's thousands of these additives. This is their big one. And so we educate people about how it was in a handful of products. Their answer is flood everything. Kids everywhere. I sit there sometimes when I'm paying for gas or getting something. I watch little kids that they're lined up with all their sugar candy. And I'll just start saying to their parents, hey, you know this has got aspartame. And sometimes they go, really? No, it doesn't. I don't get the sugar-free stuff. I know about that. I think it killed my mother. I've had conversations. And I'm like, they're like, what the? Oh, you can't have that. I mean, you've got to warn people. You've got to warn them. Nowhere does it say sugar-free. People have learned that's dangerous. Their answer was, oh, you don't like that? We're going to put it in everything. I mean, I don't mean to get mad here, but we've got to get out of our trance. What is it like for you to sit here and see this?
I mean, what really bothers me, too, is that, you know, some of these products that have the soy lecithin in it say all natural, nothing artificial, right here on the package.
And that's the stuff they admit is sterilizing people.
They do, yeah. It causes infertility issues. It causes cancers. I mean, it causes all kinds of problems. It mimics estrogen in the body. So, I mean, it can hurt you in a number of different ways. And they say it's all natural. This is all natural. There's nothing artificial in this. But we know that genetically modified soy, I mean, that's pretty much all the soy we have.
Well, you did a report where Whole Foods says we don't have anything unnatural.
Nothing artificial ever. And then they come out and say, well, you know, you can't get away from genetically modified food. So,
well, here you can't, because the rest of the world's like, no, no, no. And they'll do anything they can to get it in the country. It's not about profit. These are Defense Department fronts. This is eugenics. This is total war. And those of you out there that serve the system, you're all being bombarded by it. Cancer is exploding. Neurological disorders. They're killing us.
They are. Basically, yes. And this particular gum, I thought it was interesting because it's telling you that you're going to save the earth. But not only does it have aspartame in it and soy lecithin, but it also has Neotame, which was an army experiment that's got everything aspartame has in it, plus even worse stuff.
Yeah, talk about that. In fact, we'll put this here for the document cam shot, and it's in your report, because now everywhere I go, to a Walgreens, to a store, they're like, would you like to give $3 for breast cancer? Would you like to give $5, or would you like to give $2 for this or that? And I go, no, the breast cancer is exploding because of the bisphenol A and the chemicals. I've read all this stuff. They're like, oh, whatever, sir. We just want to find the cure. My mother has it. And I'm like, listen. Everybody talks about let's find the cure. Let's find why it's exploding. I freaking know. Tell people about this. We'll document cam that and tell people about it.
Well, I'm saying, like, they probably are planting a tree. When you buy this, I wouldn't doubt that you are
actually... Oh, I bet the people that run it mean well. What's incredible is the people running all this crap really believe... They don't even know what they're doing.
But this is just loaded with chemicals. I mean, not just the aspartame, which has hundreds of studies to show it causes cancer, infertility, liver... I mean, on and on and on. But it's also got Neotame, which has never had a long-term independent study, ever. The only people that have done studies on Neotame to say it's safe are Monsanto and Monsanto groups, basically, that they've hired to do studies.
And Monsanto, he doesn't eat GMO in their own cafeterias.
No, they won't eat GMO in their own cafeteria. And they'll
That's BBC.
$8 million to defeat Proposition 37 to save you a little bit of supposedly money for changing labeling, which we all know is untrue. But basically, and then it's just loaded with chemicals. I mean, just chemicals after chemicals after chemicals. This is amazing that they would just put that in there.
Wow.
Tell you how good it is.
Wow. Well, again, we've just scratched the surface here. Warn people, don't be a helpless victim, so you know that the mainline gum doesn't have it in it. Get out there and tell people. I'll tell you a brief story. About a month ago, I was in a CVS because I don't have a grocery store near my house. I'm out in the country, so I go to the CVS. And I go up to pay for some stuff at the counter, and the guy goes, yeah, I'm the manager here. And I'm like, okay. And he goes, you know, I know that was my store you put on the internet. And they asked me how I knew. I know my store. And I was supposed to get scared that I'd shot videos in there. And I go, yeah, I showed that your nursery water for kids has huge levels of fluoride in it, saying kids need it, when the American Dental Association said 6 years ago, don't give under six-year-olds this stuff. It causes fluorosis and bone cancer. He goes, yeah, I know. I looked it up, didn't believe it. It was true. And I went, so, and he goes, you didn't have permission to film in here. I went, I'll do whatever I want as a public service. And but the thing was, he was like in between, like, hey, I'm the authority, but hey, yeah, I saw that was true. And I started preaching to the people there. I said, yeah, they still got it back there. And he goes, well, actually, we're phasing it out. I found out system-wide and all over, because just you have been spreading the word, not us. We're just here telling you about it. People are finding out what it's doing to their kids, and that nursery water crap everywhere is being pulled. They got like five brands of it. You warn people, okay? It's in the game. They're killing these kids. And I'm not going to sit here and put up with it. I want to take our country back and our world back, and I want to arrest John P. Holdren and the rest of these eugenicists. Anything else you'd like to add?
I just think it's really sad that we can't even go to the grocery store and buy gum for our children without having a fear that it's going to cause them cancer.
This is so cold-blooded. Well, Oprah Winfrey, you know, and the rest of them, Bill Gates meet in secret meeting to reduce population.
Yes, they do.
I mean, it's right
David
there.
David Rockefeller.
And it's for them, it's saving the earth.
Yeah. That's how they spin it on people. They say, you're going to save the earth, but also depopulate the earth. They got to add that in. So
God Almighty, with our modern technology, they say people with proper medicine and health can be living to 130, 140 comfortably. You know, the U.S. Wow. population now is dropping life expectancy.
It's actually dropping all over the place.
They're killing us.
Western industrialized nation. I mean, they're all going down.
Yeah, but people out in the middle of nowhere on little Polynesian islands living to 104.
True.
They're killing us. I mean, yeah. We're sitting here talking about how we're being murdered.
I can't believe Proposition 37 was defeated. I mean, that just broke my heart. That was my last shred of faith in the system was gone. I had like 2%.
Oh, you know it was fraud. I know,
but it's just, I can't.
Look at this, Mentos mints. The only mint you can get now at a major store is Altots. And I've learned they've got lobbyists, people pushing them to put that in there. Folks, you can't even get mints now that don't have it.
You can't.
Icebreaker ice cubes.
Pretty much the entire checkout aisle. Anything you buy in that aisle
is a chemical weapon attack.
You have to look at everything. Yeah, basically.
Of course, you know where aspartame that's now in all the major candies and gums and mints? You know where it comes from? I'm not even going to tell you. I've learned if you tell people, they seem to really want to know. I'm going to tell you this. It comes from a genetically engineered little organism that defecates it. Mm-hmm. Now, I know you don't believe me. I'm just going to leave that for you. Look up aspartame manufacturing process, and it has to do with E. coli. I mean, you cannot make this up. Melissa,
disgusting.
We're going to go to your report briefly. Tell us about this report.
In this report, I saw this gum, the Project 7 Save the Earth gum, and I decided to look into what Project 7 does and also just some of the ingredients in their gum so that I could see what actually comes with saving the earth.
Project 7 sounds like some like evil masterminds operation.
Based on their website, I think they do feel like...
Oh, no, but I'm being sarcastic. Oh. It just shows how it's all in your face, though.
It is. It's very trendy looking. You know, they got the earth on there.
Oh, it's for the earth.
It says products for good right on there. It says Project 7, products for good. So it's like...
And that's the new thing. Get us to give money that then goes... I was looking at Lance Armstrong, who didn't want the research I gave him about how they're causing the cancer. And he told me to basically go to hell. I noticed or told the person I had given them the info, and I noticed that whenever I look stuff up about aspartame, it's like, oh, it's not true. It's like Liv Strong's out there telling you everything's good. Go get your chemotherapy.
Definitely, yeah. Well, and I mean, it's just the fact that, you know, you buy these things, and it's almost like it's a guilt thing. Like, you should feel bad. The earth is hurting.
Oh, no, they guilt you now. When you're, would you like to give $3 to the Cancer Institute? Mm-hmm. Who knows full well it's all, you know, engineered.
Right.
And I'm like, no. And they're like, no problem then if you don't care. You know,
but so I wasn't even surprised to find them tied to some Bill and Melinda Gates funded places, because it's like save the earth, but hurt yourself possibly with some of these harmful chemicals. And that thing is loaded with chemicals. Aspartame, neotame, soy lecithin. It's got all kinds of other preservatives, sorbitol. I mean, it's just basically chemicals and a mint flavoring, which is
unbelievable. And we're not even singling them out except for the angle tied to Oprah Winfrey and stuff. Okay, we're going to go to this report, and then we're going to go right back to Mike Adams after the report. Here it is.
I'm Melissa Melton reporting for InfoWars Nightly News. Project 7, a nonprofit organization, has come out with a trendy new gum product that it claims you can save the earth if you buy it. And while saving the earth might sound like a wonderful thing to do, upon further inspection, things are not what they seem with this wonderful new gum. It was found to contain aspartame, neotame, and genetically modified soy lecithin. Aspartame has been linked in studies to causing everything from blindness to liver damage to seizures. It's been linked to different cancers such as lymphoma, and it even eats holes in the brains of lab animals that it's tested on and eventually causes death. Neotame is far worse, and in long-term studies causes cell death. Genetically modified soy lecithin has been shown to mimic estrogen in the body, causing everything from reproductive issues to cancer, to impeding brain development in people who ingest it. This gum wasn't the only gum we found to contain harmful chemicals. All right, so we're here at a store where we're going to see if we can find any gum that doesn't contain aspartame. Let's check Orbit. Ew, there's something on this, too. Aspartame. Maybe it's oozing aspartame. Ugh. It's Orbit. So all of this aspartame. Orbit mist, like a waterfall. Let's see. A waterfall of aspartame, actually. So let's try Trident. Trident White. Let's see. Freshens breath, good for cavities. Aspartame. Oh, let's see. What is this? Stride. Stride gum. Aspartame. Trident. Layers. Aspartame. Extra. Let's try extra. Aspartame. All of these have aspartame. Let's see. Wrigley's. Let's try Wrigley's 5. Aspartame. Dentine Ice. Aspartame. Let's see. Is that everything? Eclipse? Did we try that? Let's see. Eclipse gum. Aspartame. Let's try this sugar bubble tape. This is what the little kids like to get all the time because it rolls out. It's really fun. And it's filled with aspartame right there, bubble tape. So, as you can see, we tried. We looked at every gum here, every single gum here, tried to find just one that didn't contain aspartame, and we couldn't find it. Now, in addition, Project 7 has partnered with and given thousands of dollars to Kony 2012 war propagandists, Invisible Children. Now, if you'll recall, they put out a whole call for military intervention into Uganda to go after warlord Joseph Kony, who hadn't even been seen in the country for years. In addition, there's a little bit of an issue with some of the management there at Invisible Children, as we'll see as we go to these clips.
Oh, what?
That's not your average crazy person going on a naked, obscenity-filled rant in the middle of the day. It's Jason Russell.
Now, in analyzing that, you'll see Jason Russell, co-founder of Invisible Children, going on a drug-induced naked tirade through town shortly following his Kony 2012 video release.
We want $1 million, so... There's here, 100,000 for Haiti and 900,000 extra for me.
In that clip you just saw, Jedediah Jenkins, Invisible Children director of ideology, drinking vodka and talking about how he just got a $1 million grant for children's relief after the Haiti earthquake, of which $100,000 would go to the children and $900,000 he would keep for himself. Really makes you feel like you want to donate money to these guys. Now, in addition, Project 7 has also partnered and funds two organizations that are co-funded by known elite eugenicist Bill Gates and his Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. And Oprah has recently been seen giving out water from Project 7 at some of her events. As you might recall, Oprah likes to take part in secret meetings with known eugenicists Ted Turner, Warren Buffett, and David Rockefeller, and Bill Gates, where population control seems to be the constant topic of discussion.
The price of admission is $1 billion and a philanthropic heart, and that meets the pricey requirements recently held in a secret meeting, a private meeting in New York City.
Behind closed doors on this New York campus, a secret gathering of some of the world's most powerful people. Gates, Buffett, Bloomberg, Winfrey. It was like the Super Friends.
So there you have it. Companies like to sell you the trendy idea of saving the earth, that you're going to do something great, it's going to be really good, And in the meantime, you're also co-funding eugenicist organizations and organizations run by corrupt people, and you could potentially be hurting yourself with harmful chemicals. So check those labels, guys. I'm Melissa Melton reporting for InfoWars Nightly News.
Thanks, guys, for that piece. Wow. What an eye-opener and what a packed show tonight. All kinds of guests and information and special reports for you. In fact, we've got coming up right now one of my favorite people and experts on firearms and home training for firearms. His name is, well, Joe Nobody. That's obviously not his real name, but he can't disclose his identity because of the nature of his information. His website is holdingyourground.com, and he's got books on Amazon.com and elsewhere, including The Homeschool Shootist, which is a book that I really recommend. It teaches you how to shoot by teaching yourself using the book. It's homeschooling to learn firearms, basically. And he joins us now by phone here on InfoWars Nightly News. Joe, thank you for joining me this evening.
Well, Mike, thank you so much for having me. It's good to speak to you again, sir.
It's great to have you back on. It's been a few months, and a lot has happened since then, especially Hurricane Sandy and the aftermath of that. What's your take on all of these citizens in that realm being disarmed and unable to protect themselves from looters, and yet the government denies them the right to own firearms for self-protection, that it really puts them at risk in these kinds of situations? Your thoughts, Joe?
That's every American, or not every, but most Americans' worst nightmare. You know, you hear rumors and emails and news reports about various UN treaties or various assault weapons bans. I think there was an article on InfoWars recently about Senator Feinstein and some of her activities that are rumored. That's a very bad situation. And as I've stressed in numerous interviews and books and things, if you don't have security, really nothing else happens. And you can have, even if you did have a prepper on Staten Island who, you know, had a food store, had a water store, had a generator or some other alternative energy source, flood and fire is chasing you away. Looters are chasing you away. Boy, it's a bad situation. It's something I hope I never have to go through.
Absolutely. It was a very bad situation. And, you know, many people were actually killed by improper use of the generators, which tells me that a lot of Americans out there who are even buying gear for preparedness are not adequately practicing on how to use that gear in a safe and effective manner. Is that something that you see often in the prepper movement, Joe?
Most preppers, you know, with the exception of firearms, we see so many people that go out and buy a firearm, and it's quite a while normally before they get around to taking some training or practicing on their own. But most preppers, I think, go out and at least try their gear out once or twice, especially, but I'll give you an example around Houston where I live. We're kind of Hurricane Alley around here.
Yeah.
Our news reports, there's free brochures at the grocery store. Most people around here, because storms are so real and power failures are so real, I've been without electricity in my suburban Houston home for 14 days. After a hurricane, we go out and we practice. We make sure the stuff works. You can't wait till it's too late.
Yeah, expert on this. You're the author. I mean, the average Joe, not Joe Nobody, but the average Joe person out there is not perhaps as motivated or doesn't need to write books about it. So do you think are they sort of putting themselves in a situation where they don't have the skills that they need to survive a real crisis?
I think the preppers are far ahead of the average person, but any of us, even Joe Nobody, the author, can always use more practice. And the people up on the East Coast, I don't think most of them believed it was going to hit them.
Yeah, true.
Even with the 3 days warning. Now, you have to start asking some questions. Why wasn't every car already full of gas? If there's a storm out in the Gulf here, the lines at the gas station, while manageable, they're not 4 hours or 5 hours, but you can tell the gas stations are more busy. Everybody knows to fill up. Why wasn't every bathtub full of water? why wasn't every, you know, 5-gallon container in the house, including buckets, full of water?
And just as importantly, why didn't FEMA have supplies, as FEMA claims it's there to help save the American people, so you don't have to prepare yourself because FEMA will come rescue you with handouts. But then FEMA ran out of water, you know, and food. And, well, they did serve some cookies, you know. That's not really survival food, but they did serve cookies and I guess empty bottles of water. That's a government solution for you there, huh?
Yeah, that's the really the core, the heart and soul of the prepper movement. And I am a happier individual. I'm a more content, calm. I enjoy life more as an individual because I don't have to depend on FEMA. And I my dad always said, you can only count on yourself and your family. And I think that that's some pretty wise advice right there. That's why I do what I do, and I think you do a lot of what you do.
Yeah.
Is if people will be, even if nothing ever happens, walking through life knowing that you don't have to worry about FEMA helping you or how good FEMA is or how good Homeland Security is, you can take care of things yourself. And it's just a better life, I think.
I completely agree. Now, you mentioned Dianne Feinstein earlier, and then we got into sort of the state of denial about preparedness. A lot of people right now are also in a state of denial about Senator Feinstein's gun-grabbing efforts, which appear to have been revitalized in the days following President Obama's reelection. The U.N. Small Arms Treaty is now being renegotiated, and it looks like it might be likely to be adopted by the United States of America. A lot of people are concerned about how that treaty would be interpreted in America and how it might conflict with the Second Amendment or even nullify it in America. And, of course, beyond that, Senator Feinstein wants to push through legislation that would criminalize all semi-automatic weapons, requiring people to turn them in, not just a ban on sales, Joe, but requiring owners of weapons and firearms that they bought years ago to turn them in to the government. Now, you know a lot of people in the preparedness movement and let's say operators who have experience in the Middle East. Do you think that a national gun grab is going to fly in America if it is attempted to be enforced?
No.
Why? Tell us why.
Well, first of all, the enforcement would be almost practically impossible. There's not enough police officers who would go along. There's definitely not enough military. Back in 2008, when President Obama was elected, a lot of people went through the same mental exercises. And I remember being in a rifle class up in Monoc. And there were a lot of military, a lot of LE guys, and the question went around, if you were ordered to do so, would you do it? And I think the average American would stick out their chest a little bit. Most of the guys there said, absolutely not.
But let me,
what am
let
I going to do?
Well, sorry to interrupt, Joe, but let me give you another scenario, though. That was their answer in that political climate. What if a massive, let's say, a false flag type of attack were carried out, another kind of 9/11 that they blamed on patriots, that they blamed on preppers, you know, blowing up a federal building or whatever they come up with? Wouldn't that change the perception among law enforcement officers and perhaps even veterans or do you think that wouldn't work, that ploy wouldn't work? What's your take if that happens?
Well, I'm not a smart enough guy to analyze, you know, future or parallel events, but I think it would
have to be. Multiple realities, man, parallel worlds, quantum physics. Come on, Joe, lay it out for us, brother.
Yeah, I wish. It would have to be extremely well done, and even if their heart, even if the guys and girls who were tasked to go around and collect the weapons, if you will. You've seen all of these nightmare scenarios where the police are going through neighborhoods, knocking on people's doors and saying, you know, hey, turn over your firearms, or hey, we have a warrant to search your home for firearms, it is just logistically impossible. They just couldn't do it.
It's also suicidal, isn't it? I mean, who would want to be the guy going door to door saying, hand over your guns?
Yeah, I mean, they would get through the first 5 or 10,000 or whatever the right number was, and you would begin to see marches, protests, rallies, and probably those rallies, most of the people going to those rallies would be willing to fight to keep that right.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't come to that. Most of the LE and military guys are good guys.
I hope it doesn't come to that as well. But one of the things, you know, if you look back at the Cold War and mutually assured destruction, it was all based on the idea that the Soviet Union was thinking rationally, and thus they wouldn't launch nukes to the U.S. because that would then result in their own self-destruction. But we've got a liberal, almost sort of a socialism type of leadership in this country right now. What if they're not rational? What if they've deceived themselves so much that they think they can get away with it, and thus they try to pull it off anyway?
Again, that's always a possibility. I just personally, I don't think it's likely. Now, you're talking to a guy who keeps his firearms in three different locations. And I won't say that the reason you're just outlining isn't part of it. I keep my firearms and my ammunition kind of for fire, kind of for theft, kind of for that reason that you're talking about, just in case. I keep them kind of scattered around. I also know guys who have a throwdown. They've got an old bolt action such and such that probably doesn't even shoot anymore. And if they came to the door and asked, they'd gladly hand it over.
Right, right. Here's your weapon. That's the only one I have, that kind of thing.
Yeah. But the UN treaty, I've read parts of that, the parts that people are most concerned about. You also have in the United States an extremely powerful lobby in the NRA, as well as the gun manufacturers themselves. It's probably one of the few businesses in the United States that's got a lot of money in their war chest.
Oh, yeah, and their stock prices are skyrocketing thanks to Obama. Again, it's one of the best investments you can make.
Absolutely. You go to a gun show, and it's been there for years now, but they're still around. President Obama is the best gun salesman in the country.
Yeah.
T-shirts and bumper stickers, but I'm not worried really about a gun grab. I worry about social upheaval, economic unrest, or social unrest, economic upheaval. I focus my preps on that and being able to handle that. It's not something that you know, I give a large percentage of it happening to.
Okay, well, very good. I'm glad to hear that. That is a bit of a sense of relief. But I guess the good news is, if you're preparing for economic collapse, you are simultaneously overlapping preparedness for all kinds of scenarios. And that's the beauty of having this basic skill set that you teach, by the way. I'll plug your book in The Homeschool Shootist, which I've used to shoot up numerous Frisbees on the gun range. So thank you for teaching me how to shoot Frisbees.
That's a great training aid, isn't it? And a lot of fun.
It is, and they're hard to hit with an AR, believe me.
Yeah, have you gotten to the point yet where you can hit them two or three times on the same toss?
Not yet. No, I'm working on my skills.
You'll get there. It's a heck of a lot of fun, and zip lines and little robots running around. And
I got the robot truck with the balloons on it, and we've been popping balloons, and that's a lot of fun. So,
yeah,
but tell us about your book a little bit. You know, go ahead and give us a little brief of what's in it.
It's really a book to teach advanced skills. It assumes that you have, you know, basic knowledge of your weapon, basic safety knowledge. Somebody commented to me the other day, it's the first gun book they've ever read, that the first part of the book wasn't the four rules of firearm safety. And, you know, everybody should know those. That's
right.
Not light, but this is a book for more advanced skills. This is a book on combat shooting with a shoulder-fired weapon, 0 to 600 meters. That's been one of my primary sources of income for years, has been teaching combat shooters. It's got, you know, 20-some years of my experience in it, tips and tricks, methods, training aids. It's really a, I think, a valuable resource. And whether you're a prepper or not, if you're just into shooting, if you just want to go out and have some fun and do something a little bit more entertaining than poke holes in paper, it's a good resource. And shooting is a perishable skill, and it's something that if you're really a serious prepper, you need to be able to handle a firearm for a lot of different reasons.
Well, I would like to invite you, Joe, if you're ever out in the Austin area, we should hook you up with, you know, maybe we get the InfoWars camera crew and, you know, you can wear a mask or something to cover your face, you know, protect your identity. And then you could show us some of the stuff on camera. So let us know if you're ever out here and if you're interested in that.
Oh, I make it over to that neck of the woods every now and then. There's also a YouTube video for the book that's up, actually two of them, and they show USMC Corporal and myself out doing some of the exercises, and it's on YouTube and the website, and it's easy to find.
Okay, good.
A lot of good comments on that.
We're just about out of time, Joe, but... I want to ask you, you know, some of the rhetoric that we saw in the Obama, you know, pre-election campaigning was getting pretty violent on the left. You had Move On and Michael Moore putting out those ads that were talking about committing acts of violence against the genitals of Mitt Romney and you know, burning down cities and a lot of profanity and things like that. And you had threats of people on Twitter who said if Romney won, they would riot and they would target, you know, Romney supporters and things like that. Are you concerned that there is an escalating ambiance of violent rhetoric, or do you think that's just nothing to be concerned about and, you know, is just part of the playing games with the election? What's your take on all that?
I think social upheaval is a serious matter. It's something that I pay very close attention to. It has happened in our past. A lot of people don't know it. There have been 24 times in the history of the United States where federal troops have been called out to put down social unrest or to solve or intervene in social issues. And I think that economically speaking, if the middle class suffers a cold, if the middle class gets the flu, the lower people economically, they get pneumonia. And if people get hungry, if people get desperate, if the social service programs collapse, if the dollar collapses, you could see very easily social upheaval.
Well, we almost saw that in the Northeast. I mean, the EBT cards, you know, the food stamp cards, they're all electronic payment systems, and all those systems failed because of the hurricane and the power grid going down. So we got a little taste of that just recently. That should wake a lot of people up, but I suspect it won't.
It probably won't. They'll blame the hurricane. They'll blame, you know, an act of God or global warming or whatever they come up with to blame.
Yeah.
And again, I just want to stress, everybody will worry about all this stuff a whole lot less. They'll be a whole lot happier the more self-sufficient they are.
Absolutely.
The more, the less that we need or want or have to have government in our lives and be depending on somebody else. And I don't care if you're a prepper or not. I don't care if you're upper class or lower class or middle class or no class like me.
come on.
you just, that's why I prep. It's just a better life. And all this stress over elections and Iran and all of this stuff kind of fades a little bit to the background because you're focused and you know I can take care of myself and my family.
You know, that's a really good point, because the liberal media often accuses preppers of inciting fear when it's actually the opposite. It's encouraging confidence, the ability to face the future with a sense of confidence like you just described, Joe, not having these threats be something that can escalate and threaten your survival. You know, if the stores don't have food, no problem. You've got your food. If law enforcement is down and 911 doesn't work, as it didn't following Hurricane Sandy, no problem. You've got your own firearm at home. You know how to use it, and you have boundaries of when to use it and when not to use it. That, those are the kinds of solutions that America needs. I know you agree with that. And final comments before we wrap this interview up with you, Joe.
Well, I read some of you and Alex's work on Hurricane Sandy, and I thought it was very insightful. You guys need to quit beating around the bush, though, and just really come out with what you think there.
Right.
No, actually, I really enjoyed it, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk to everybody.
Well, thank you, Joe. I really appreciate you joining us here on InfoWars Nightly News. Take care. Hope to have you on again in the future. The website, everybody, is holdingyourground.com. All right, that's the show for you, folks. I've enjoyed hosting tonight. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, editor of naturalnews.com. And be sure to check out prisonplanet.tv. Subscribe, become a member, and share that subscription with others so they can also stay informed about liberty and what's really going on in the world. And check out more details about these breaking stories on Infowars.com and probably many stories tomorrow on the Alex Jones Show as well. Have a good evening, and we'll be back soon with more stories. Take care.